we're focusing on anger. All right? How many of you have felt anger? Have you ever felt anger? No. Never. Never. Never felt anger. And the question becomes, what do we do? What do we do with this furnace, with this time bomb of what we know as anger? What do we do with that? And for some of us, it shows up, you know, as a loud voice with, you know, fists and clenched, and we talked a little bit last week about the flying saucers. Okay? We're not talking about UFOs, we're talking about kitchen dishes flying all over the place, that's what we're talking about. And when it comes to best friends, how can we deal with anger so that our best friend remains our best friend? Or to put it another way, how can we deal with our anger so that we can find true friendship, real friendship? Our church is learning about these days and is on this journey about real friendships and being real believers. And we're experiencing real healing. And it's been a profound journey, I think. We're finding real friendships. And we have new folks who are discovering a new sense of belief. And there's real healing going on. So when it comes to anger, how can we deal with it? And so this morning, I want to first talk about what does not work. All right? And then I want to explore another option. So when it comes to what doesn't work, we're going to hear from this passage, it'll mention some of the things that don't work. And we're going to explore that more in depth after we listen to the passage. So let's listen to these verses from Ephesians 4, 25. We're going to go to 25 to 27, and then 29 to 32. And join me if you want to follow along in your red pew Bible right there. And it begins, therefore. Therefore is the first word. It says, therefore each of you must put off falsehood. It begins with therefore, and what the therefore is about is first of all, because of the fact that we're more sinful than we ever dare believe, and that we're more loved than we ever dared hope. Because of that, because of Jesus is the one, through God the Father, Jesus the Son, and through the Holy Spirit, we actually experience this reality. And because of that reality, this is the news that being talked about, that Paul's talking about in this passage. All right? Because of that reality, we can deal with anger. And so here's Paul talking about it. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate toward one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. All right. So now, first thing I want to do is explore that what does not work when it comes to anger. Okay, what does not work? In this morning's passage, it says, don't give the devil a foothold. And so it's important for us to know what doesn't work and be able to name it and identify it so that we don't give the devil a foothold. All right? And this is not a sermon about the devil. That's for another time. But right now, just understand that once you give a little bit to the concept of evil, you've opened up the floodgate. And a little bit leads to a little more, and a little more leads to a bunch more, and a bunch more leads to a whole big gushing pathway. And so it's important that we understand what doesn't work. So the first thing that doesn't work is openly aggressive anger. Openly aggressive, okay? And so what does openly aggressive behavior looks like? One of the verses this morning is, do not let any unwholesome words come out of your mouth. All right? And so that's what we're talking about here. The openly aggressive behavior. Have any of you ever experienced that? Do I need to demonstrate what that looks like? Who wants to volunteer for me to demonstrate what that looks like? All right. Well, just because, you know, when it comes to faith being real, friendships, establishing real friendships and real believers with real healing, is we don't let anything go unturned. And so I'm going to demonstrate this for you, okay? I'm going to try and do it gently, okay? Because I'm not in the habit of doing this kind of thing, okay? And maybe I might not even be able to pull it off. I don't know. But, you SOB, you cut in front of me. Go to the back of the line. You bleep, you shortchanged me on my coin. Give me my money right now, or I'm going to walk out of here with my groceries. All right? You dummy, you don't know what you're talking about. You bleep.
Bleep.
Sounds like a sheep, right? All right. So that's openly aggressive anger. And so that's what that is. Now, it shows up, you know, there are milder forms of that and there are more aggressive forms of that. But that's the idea, okay? And when you do that, you're giving a foothold to the devil, all right? You are. Another way of dealing with anger that doesn't work is passive aggressive. All right, we just did openly aggressive. Now we're going to do passive aggressive. All right, passive aggressive. Now, passive aggressive, we don't tend to know that, you know, we're doing it. It's just we happen to be angry. And so we don't know how to deal with it. And so we just do this passive aggressive thing, okay? So it goes like this. So let's say I need a bulletin. And so, Jack, you be the usher, all right? So Jack is the usher, and he's I'm coming in, and I need a bulletin. So Jack, go ahead and hand me the bulletin. All right. Thank you, Jack. Jack did a good job. See, so what happened is, for those of you at home and not get to hear this, what the sound, what happened is I kept backing up. I don't want this to happen. I really don't. I'm too angry and upset to have it actually be resolved. But I'm not forthright enough to actually deal with it. I don't want it to be dealt with. But I'm still angry. So I'm being very passive, all right? Please, that's just one example, right? Do you know of any other examples? Yeah, all right. So the third way that doesn't work in dealing with anger is probably the biggest category of us when we, if you raise your hand and say, yeah, I've been angry, I felt angry. This is the biggest group do it this way. I've done it myself, all right? And this is dealing with anger by not dealing with anger. Okay? And what it is it's a, has a, here, here's how the storyline goes, all right? So I'm a good Christian, or I want to be a good guy. And so what I do is, you know, I want to be, I've seen the openly aggressive way. I know it doesn't work. Maybe I've tried it myself. And I know it doesn't work. They look silly when they do it. And then later on, it's so awkward. You know, they're trying to recover, they're trying to apologize, and it's just so awkward. I'm going to be better than that. And I'm not going to get upset. I'm not going to let anyone see me sweat. Is that the saying? I'm not going to let anyone see me get angry. I'll be angry, but I'm not going to let anybody see it. And then I'm just going to sort of let time heal all anger. All right? Now, you'll remember about time as a healer. And you remember that, you know, when I use the example of me driving my car through the parking lot and hitting every one of your cars. All right? And so everybody has a dent in their car, and I come in and worship, and I say, oh, man, somebody knocked my elbow a little bit, and I happened to hit your cars, guys. I'm sorry, but you know what? Time will heal all dents. And so we know that time doesn't do that, does it? All it does is rust it. So there's openly aggressive, there's passive aggressive, and then there's simply suppressing anger. Okay? Now, the thing is that there's something we're angry about. And this morning passage says, when in anger, do not sin. So it isn't saying feeling angry is a sin. Okay? It's not necessarily a sin. It could be when if we act on it in a way that's, you know, openly aggressive or passive aggressive. And if we suppress it. And it comes out in other ways. So it's like a, it's a water balloon that you take a hammer to. Does the water stay in the balloon? No, if you take a water balloon and throw it at somebody and it hits their body, does it stay in the balloon? No, we get wet. That's right. So it doesn't work. So suppressing anger, it leads to bigger blasts later on. It's like the road rage. You know, something happens, it's sort of, we talked about this last Sunday in our Growth 201, is the cliff, the rock going to the cliff thing. So if it starts out here, like here's our cliff right there, and here's the rock, and you wake up in the morning, and the alarm clock goes off, but it's Saturday morning. Ah, man, I'm angry at that. The rock moves a little closer to the cliff. And your spouse comes in and says, honey, I made breakfast for you. It's toast with the eggs over easy. Come on in. And that's not what you like. You hate eggs over easy. Right? Rock is closer to the cliff. And then after breakfast, you're not feeling so good because... Hex over heezy don't go over well with you. You're even more angry. And before you've even stepped outside to get the newspaper, you're already 2 feet from the cliff. And by the end of the day, sure enough, if not sooner, you've gone off the cliff and you went from suppressing anger to being the guy who was, you know, throwing the rocks and openly aggressive. In anger. Okay? So if they don't work, what does? If openly aggressive behavior and passive aggressive, and if suppressing anger don't work, then what does? I want to share with you a process. But rather than spell it all out, I just want to give you the example of what it is. And in your in the back, there's a sermon notes page, and it outlines this whole process. And it's outlined by A, B, C, D, E. And the key is that instead of doing anger the way we've always done it, is instead to choose His way. Choose Jesus' way. What does Jesus' way look like in dealing with anger? Well, here's what it says, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Now, that's easy enough to recite, okay? You can recite verse 32 until your voice turns hoarse. But still, the anger piece, the flame, the bomb that builds up inside of you keeps on coming up. So here's the key. In this morning's passage, it says that when you're feeling angry, do not sin. You notice something about this? Notice what he's saying? We often think the myth is that we think that anger, there's only one way to deal with anger, and that's to let it out and let our instincts lead us. To run on adrenaline. But this morning's passage, God is saying, you have a choice in how you deal with anger. You have a choice. Okay? So you have a choice. And if you're willing to see that you have a choice, that's the start. And to choose His way is to say, I'm done doing it my way. And I want to choose another way. If you're a guest with us and you're not a believer in Jesus yet, but you're curious, this is this opportunity. This is what it means when the rubber hits the road about our faith. It's real. And so the next time you're in anger, if you choose now to let His way become your way, then you'll have this new way of dealing with anger. All right, for the rest of us who've been on the journey, here's what it looks like. So the A, B, C, D, E. First is A, is accept that you're angry. And B is to, I'm forgetting what it is. A is accept your anger, and B is to buy time. All right? Buy time. You may need to take some time. Because if you're angry, and your old pattern is to be openly aggressive, you're going to need time. You're going to be hot under the collar. And you may have a very good reason for being angry. And then the third is C, is create distance if you need it. In other words, you may need more than just time. You may need to sort of fend off, say, I'm not ready to deal with this. I need more time. I don't want to cause more hurt than I already have, or I want to preserve our friendship, so I need more time. I'll let you know when. And then the third is to decide what you're going to say and write it down. And then the fourth, the E, is express your anger directly to the person who violated you. Don't express it to somebody else. You don't say to your, you don't say, man, my sister, boy, she just really flew off the handle. She really, really messed me around. She really jerked me around. And our job is to say, have you talked with your sister? Right? Okay, so here it is. So this week, I'll call him a friend. And this is suspect number two. We've been dealing with what happened in Boston, and many of us are feeling the effects of it. I know that. I've had conversations with some of you. It's affected us. Some of us are feeling sadness, sorrow, and some of us are feeling angry. And so I want to have a conversation. I know the FBI guys do too. they probably get it before I do. But if I could just have the conversation with him, it would go something like this. So, friend, I know you're in a lot of pain, but I want to talk with you. And I'm afraid to do this because I wonder if I talk with you about my what's going on with me, that you might not understand where I'm coming from. You know that I believe in Jesus, and I wonder if you may have problems with that. I know that I don't want you to think that I'm trying to represent all Christians, but I want to share with you a few things, and I'm afraid that you're going to misunderstand me and go out and do more of what you've done. And I'm afraid that you're not going to hear me because I'm a Christian. I'm afraid that you won't hear me and that you're going to wall off and that you'll never have the opportunity for that healing, that longing, that wholeness, that community, that acceptance and understanding that I know that you could have. And I'm afraid that if I talk with you about what's going on with me, that you will never get back to that place of even listening about that possibility. Having said that, though, I want to share with you that you set out bombs that sent shrapnel all over the place, with people just watching the Boston Marathon. There was an 8-year-old standing with his feet on the bottom of the railing and his hands over the edge of the railing. And the cameras show that you put the backpack that had the bomb 2 feet from his feet. You killed him. This precious child will never have the opportunity that you have right now of living and of knowing this connection with community as an adult. You killed several others with the bomb. You killed a police officer who came to investigate what you were doing. He was doing his job, wanting to protect many lives and secure the campus. He has a wife and kids, and you killed him. His children no longer have a daddy. His wife no longer a husband. You paralyzed a city in terror. And I'm feeling angry. And you mischaracterized my faith. You said that America is using the Bible to threaten other countries. And while it may be that there are some Christians who do something vaguely similar to what you're talking about, and maybe there are some who do, but that wasn't the way of the master I know. He didn't terrorize nations. He came to make lovers of all the nations, to baptize them in the gift of love and embrace and acceptance. The kind of acceptance, I think, that you're looking for. And I'm feeling sad for what you've caused, the death and destruction. Your brother died. I don't know which one of you started this, but to stand up and say it's not right. Take courage. And I wish you'd had it. You attempted to make our country a country of fearful people. A people, though they've been given the freedoms of life, of happiness, to choose their own religion and faith. And you tried to instill fear. And I'm angry. I'm feeling angry. Feeling upset. And feeling sad. And I want you to apologize. I want you to recognize the hurt and pain you've caused. And I want you to know that no matter what you've done, even all that you've done, that I love you. I don't know you very well, but I love you. And I know that this God, who can bring about what you're looking for, loves you too. But that doesn't mean that I forget what you've done. And it doesn't mean that you don't face the judge. And it doesn't mean you don't pay the consequences. But this God has something for you that's bigger than that. That even behind bars, you can experience freedom. Even behind bars, you could know community and connection, wholeness and healing. Even behind bars, you could make amends. And I want you to say you're sorry to the family of the 8-year-old boy, the family of the security officer, and the families of the others, and of all those, the 11 others in the hospital right now. I want you to say you're sorry. You're sorry for the death and destruction you've caused. And then I want you to make amends. I want you to learn about this God who loves everyone he's created, even those who profess faith in Islam. And he's going to take you on a journey if you'll start it. Praise be to God. For the God of healing, the God of life, the God who can overcome every sense of anger we may feel, and that we may use our anger in a way that brings best friends together. Are you willing?